Morning, Paul. Just quickly, do you have any updates on your injured players?
No, Ken, we're still going to wait till we get some opinions on them. We should know later today.
And following up, what are the factors you will weigh in deciding who will be your first line center tomorrow or start that way if Mark is unavailable?
What it does to the rest of our lineup, considering we're the road team, factor in the match that we're going to face. So those kind of things, there's a you put Blake Wheeler in the middle, you get something, you get a heavy man down low in the D zone, but you lose something, especially against a trapping team. You don't get that kind of center play. He gets down the wall so well, he can create loose pucks. You know that there was very little 5-on-5 zone time last night. So it's not like we were hemmed in. I think they were in our end under possession at about 2:43. I think we were in their end in possession at 3:22. So that's a really low number. There wasn't as much zone time for either team. I like Blake in the middle against heavy zone time teams because he's big and strong down low. The cost of that is what he can do up front off the wing and putting pressure down the walls. The puck's got to the walls. And both teams moved that puck pretty effectively. And there wasn't, as I said, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of zone time. So those are some of the things we'll think about.
Eric Francis from Sportsnet.ca. Go ahead.
Paul, you were pretty heated last night and very direct on how you thought that hit went down. Have you looked at it again this morning and have a sobering second thought, or are you still as strong as ever that that was a dirty, egregious hit?
I would stick by every word that I said, but specifically every word that I said.
And as a follow-up, do you think Matthew Tkachuk's a dirty player?
I don't know if you sin once or you're a sinner, sin 10 times. He put some side. I don't think he came off the bench and said, hey, I'm going to see if I can go stab the back of Mark Scheifele's leg with my skate. I think he got to that point, and I think that's exactly what he did. But I don't think he's skating across the ice thinking that's what I'm going to do. I think he plays at a level that he's on the edge. He crosses it sometimes. He crossed it in my mind clearly. That's exactly how I feel about it.
Ryan Leslie from Sportsnet, go ahead.
Paul, how do you sort of get your group to just, if you can, forget about what happened in game one all across and maybe build on positives, but how do you kind of get them back on track and focused on what needs to be done?
Well, this is our year. Like this event, almost the inexplicable is the story of the Winnipeg Jets. From your A defenseman not showing up to play to losing a veteran for the season, maybe for a career, to all inexplicable things that has happened to this hockey team this year. This would be par for the course. I think we had the pause and thought that we had gotten out of that situation, but last night was a reminder right back in it. So we got an awful lot of experience with it. I said the 5-on-5 game wasn't an advantage for either team. We scored one, they didn't score any. Special teams clearly would be the area that we've got to focus on and get right, especially with some potentially missing important pieces to it. So that's our challenge today. But getting up off the mat was something that we learned to do seemingly every week, and we'll get it put to the test now.
And just to follow up, I would imagine because of this adversity that you faced, you see something in your guys to be able to rally again, and faith is still very much there.
We got really, really good leadership in our room. And yeah, we're going to miss Mark. He's a big part of that. And it's also a nice proving ground, right? We got a lot of young forwards that got some skill up there that couldn't connect last night, weren't real sharp. And they felt it. They felt it on the power play. I mean, the power play at the second period where they scored the shorthand is an example of that. I mean, our entries had gone flat, to say the least, and we had come off our game. So this is a great test for them. It's a great opportunity for them to rally again, to figure out how to handle a playoff loss and be a lot better and harder the next night.
Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Morning, Paul. We didn't ask you about this specifically last night, but when Blake Wheeler engages Matthew Tkachuk a couple minutes later, what's going through your mind? You've just lost one key player, and Blake's obviously, I mean, there's injury risk anytime a guy fights. So what's going through your mind, and what did you think of what Blake did there?
Well, you've seen it. I mean, Blake is not a fighter by trade, but you've seen over the course of the last 5 or 6 years when there was something he felt that needed to be answered for, that he would step up and do that. I mean, I know what's coming from him. I didn't try to talk him out of it. I certainly didn't encourage him to do it. We had tried to win a hockey game. We had a decent start in that game. We're the shots are 7-1 and we're up 1-0 after one. But you know it's coming.
And then just a question, Paul, about the physicality of the Flames. I mean, it looked like they were intent really early on setting a bit of a physical tone. I think Tkachuk hits Scheifele on the first shift, and thinking of Lindholm, I think, had a big hit on Morrissey and DeMello. Like, is that something that you guys have to be aware of or concerned about? And is there a way to maybe answer that, or you just stick to your game?
Yeah, you know what? We play our best hockey in those environments. When you look at the Central Division and you think of what our games look like against St. Louis and Nashville, Minnesota for that matter, because there's a rivalry there, those are heavy, heavy games. And, you know, the games I don't usually love are the games that we play against Chicago or Edmonton. We don't seem to play our best hockey in those. I think there's the standard physical edge tone setting that happens in a playoff game. They would have had the advantage to that, but the end result really wasn't much in terms of zone times or turnovers that ended up coming back at us. It was just guys finishing their routes and I mean, when we're at our best, we're on the body, but we're not built right now to be running people around the rink as a priority of our game.
Sarah Leske from TSN, go ahead.
Well, obviously, the injuries that players might have sustained could change the way that you approach today's practice. But with the fact that you have two games now in the next 2 days, I guess, how do you approach this practice? And what sort of challenge is it with potential pieces like Mark or Patrick out of your lineup?
Yeah, I mean, if you have pieces out of your lineup that you think you're coming back, then it makes a challenge. I mean, we obviously need to work on some special teams here in this practice. So we'll get a feel for where both those guys are at, and then a plan of practice. I'll just tell you it'll be short because it's a late afternoon practice for a noon game in between days, and we're coming back to an afternoon game the next day, so we won't be on the ice very long.
Sorry, just follow up. What is the biggest challenge that you see from your perspective with the two games in 2 days? And I guess 3 and 4 overall.
Yeah, you know what? There's no challenge because both teams are doing the same thing. So you want to get to run your whole bench. You know, one guy under 10 minutes, that's a function of guys leaving the bench. So we had the minutes fairly evenly spread around to a lot of guys. That'll be it. To keep the energy high, you'll have to use your whole bench.
Ed Wyman from the Winnipeg Sun, go ahead.
Morning, Paul. Adam said the players had dinner with Scheifele after the game. How did you see his spirits as being after that?
Oh, I mean, I talked to him this morning. I didn't have dinner with him. I mean, he's frustrated. He's angry, but the only conversation where the smile I got out of him is he rolled his ankle. Was that last year, Brownie? I don't know. He rolled his ankle once in the last year and a half, and I didn't think he was going to play. And he had, I believe, 20 points in the next 11 games. So told him to keep that in mind.
And just, I don't know how much you can answer this, Paul, but Adam used the word cut in talking about the incident. You mentioned stabbing in the back of the leg. Can you confirm that the injury Mark suffered was a cut?
No.
Okay, thank you.
No.
Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun, go ahead.
Hi, Paul. Good morning. Just a question. You're critical of your own coaching last night. I'm just wondering, is that specific to the game state yesterday? Or, I mean, in terms of the broader picture now going forward, you're going to have to manage your lines differently, assuming Scheifele and Laine are out. So I guess my question is, what do you need to do better to get more or extract more out of your team
going forward? Yeah, I mean, I like the way we came into the game. I thought we were well prepared. I liked our exhibition game against Van in terms of pace, I think. So that was right. I couldn't find the answer. So there isn't a game in the last 25 years that I've walked off the bench that we've lost that I didn't spend the next 3-4 hours trying to find the trigger that I didn't pull, the place that I didn't go. So I know that you've never, ever in my career heard me say, I don't know what the answer is. Go ask the players. It was them. So that's the way I view it. We lose the game. There's something that needed to be done that didn't get done. I wasn't very happy with how we flowed off that. Couldn't find the entry answer easily for our power play. Didn't like our lane choices on our PK. And then you're looking for a spark on that bench, and I couldn't find it for him. So that's why you got the answer. It's honest. It's how I felt. It's how I feel every time we lose a hockey game and I come off the bench. There's something I couldn't get to.
Ken Weed from Sportsnet.ca, go ahead.
Paul, how did Jansen Harkins go from prospect on the periphery to becoming an NHLer this year in case you need him?
All on his own. Now, I'll tell you, there's a story of a guy that got absolutely – I don't know if benefit of the doubt is the right word, but he didn't get one shift, one look, one game that he didn't completely earn. You know, we sent him down. I remember when we sent him down at the end of training camp thinking this guy's done almost everything he possibly can for himself. I'm not saying he was ready to play in the NHL, but he was bigger, stronger, faster, and he was starting to piss all the veteran guys off in training camp because he wouldn't come off it in practice. He was still finishing checks. He was still grinding 20. You know, the older guys are getting ready for the regular season. They don't want to get popped in practice. And when he came in, he made the most of his opportunities. So everything that Jansen Harkins, he didn't get there because he was drafted high and we felt we needed to give him a chance. Or we certainly didn't try to develop him in the National Hockey League. He earned his chance by paying his dues in the minors.
Sarah Lesky from TSN, go ahead.
Obviously, Paul, we talk about the potential loss of Mark, but if Patrick isn't able to play as well, could you just make mention as to where you would feel his absence and what it takes away from your game?
Well, you saw it for chunks. I mean, when we lost Mark, our power play suffered mightily, and Patty's such a threat over there. You cover off differently when he's not on the ice. So just on that 5-on-4 situation, and you're talking about two guys that are in our top six and high point producers. So you missed the offense for sure.
Okay.